The following clip refers to the developing identity of Harlow as a new town. It includes an interview with an early resident explaining his meetings with Frederick Gibbard.
Harlow was based on the rural village of what's now known as Old Harlow. In 1947, it had a population of just over 4,000. Today, 20 times that number live there, and the town's attracted many big firms to the area.
The ideas in the air about creating new towns in Britain seem the most attractive and worthwhile ideas around. You must remember there was a general idealism after the war. The new towns were born out of it, and the Development Corporation reflected this idealism for the whole of its existence. It was largely open countryside, and within the layout principles of the master plan, which was an interrelationship of building groups and landscape, we might have been expected to be free to design any building form. But in fact, we were governed by the general public preference for an individual two-story house and private garden. This was what about 70 to 80% of the population really wanted, and it shaped the town. One evening, I suppose it was in 1950, Frederick Gibbard came to the Manchester Society of Architects to talk about the early developments which had taken place at Harlow, for which he was master planner. It seemed a grand title. I liked the man, and I liked what I heard about opportunities for the design of all types of buildings. In 1960, we bought a site and built our own house in Harlow. There was a feeling of being pioneers, which we were, of course, as we'd all come there by choice. We had to make our own entertainment and provide our own culture. The BBC and ITV weren't all pervasive then. There was a temporary cinema in a factory building, and that fine actress Sean Phillips acted Ibsen in a community hall. But we organised a lot ourselves, music groups. I played the recorder and sang madrigals, and we invited speakers to the Development Corporation. Frederick Gibbard talked about his designs for London's Heathrow Airport. Nicholas Pevsner came, and then once we visited Henry Moore at his studio nearby. London wasn't so easy to get to then. The line hadn't been electrified, and Harlow, I think, had a greater sense of identity in those early years.
Jackie Story runs Harlow Council's records office and is busy charting Harlow's history. Jackie herself moved to the town with her family from North London in the early 1950s and says that even in those early days, it was an exciting place to live.
I would think Harlow had got an identity by at least the mid-50s. When Harlow was first built, it had to attract people to the town. And what happened was that the corporation built factories and then persuaded industry to come to the town. So if you go to the first industrial estate built, you see all the factories all very similar. But by the mid-50s, we were building the second industrial estate. People were crying out to come to Harlow then. So we said, right, there's the land, build your own factories. And I think even by the mid-50s, Harlow had got an identity of its own. It had also become very, very famous because in the early 50s, it had the highest birth rate in the country. So we were christened Pram Town, and I think that made it famous nationwide as well.